Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program that is devoted to those who have come to realize that all of the world's religious, political, military institutions are rotten to the core, that religion is counterproductive, as is a nation's military, as is their political infrastructure. If you're one of those, then we would invite you to participate and share your experiences. If you're not, then we would invite you to challenge the conclusions that we have drawn from the evidence. We're going to begin this day's program on one of the most debilitating myths in the history of mankind. A myth so deadly that Yahweh, the one and only God, the creator of the universe, calls the sponsor of this myth the plague of death. There is no one else that he singles out by name as an individual that he describes as so counterproductive, so ultimately destructive. This man is Paul. He is the author of half of the Christian New Testament. There is only one entity in the totality of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, perhaps I should say too, that are called out specifically for condemnation. One is the spirit of, the legacy of, the religion and politics that grew out of a place called confusion, Babel, the very place that we're asked to walk away from. The other is the ongoing and continual legacy of Rome, Israel's most vicious adversary, the most vicious adversary of the chosen people and the promised land, an entity that grew or devolved from Imperial Rome to Roman Catholicism. Those are the only two institutions that Yahweh speaks as negatively about as he does this one man, the man known to Christians as Paul. Hi, Kirk. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Good. Early for you.
Early in California. But it's still it's a pretty day so far. It'll get a little hot later, but it's pretty nice right now.
Good. Well, you know, when you consider the quantity of information that Yahweh revealed to us, mm-hmm. and the information that Yosha affirmed out of Yahweh's testimony, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any individual as maligned, as rebuked, as demeaned, as condemned as Paul, the founder of the Christian religion and the author of its New Testament.
He's the only one you find is contradicting everything Yahweh says.
Yeah. I mean, there's a person that Yahweh said, I hate, and that was Esau.
Esau, yeah.
Yeah. That's by the way, it happens to be the Islamic Jesus is named Esau. And so it is, there's individuals that have engendered Yahweh's wrath.
Oh, yeah?
But it doesn't say that Esau became the plague of death. But a plague of death means that as a plague, that you are affecting the lives of millions, if not billions,
mm-hmm.
to be a plague of death. And, you know, his entire description of Paul, his ego, his claim to Gentiles, his arrival at the time that the four Moed Mikre were being fulfilled, the most important time in history, of the claim that God died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only once, but twice. He has God dying for the sins of Christians. God can't die, which is why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me in the upright pole? But beyond that, doesn't he have the God of the Torah represented by a dead husband in Romans 7?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, so, and Yahweh's rebuke of Paul found in Habakkuk, you know, Habachuk just says, wait a minute. You made me listen to this guy so I could give an accurate report on the deadly corruption that he is spewing. But how could people be so stupid to think that God died? But that's the basis of Christianity, based on Pauline doctrine. God died for your sins. No, he didn't. He can't. And, you know, Paul doesn't just have him die once. He has him die twice, because it's the author of the Torah that's represented by a dead spouse. And, of course, Paul goes so far as to say that God was unable to complete the work that was required to save people based upon the gospel of grace, and that he physically suffered what was required to finish the job.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah.
Right. You know, and by the way, if faith is everything, if all you got to do is believe Paul, why does it matter?
Yeah, what happened at all?
What does it matter what Yosha did? Why does it matter? Why does somebody have to suffer? Why does there have to be some kind of an act? You know, what's the purpose of, even if you use the corrupt Christian terms of the crucifixion? What's the purpose if all you have to do is believe? Why bother?
What's the purpose of a dead Torah? I mean, if it's dead, why not throw it away?
Correct. Well, that's what that was the attempt of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing that 3 billion people can still be manipulated by Paul. Right. And understand. You know, that the Christian church is a construct of Paul. It's based on his letters. And, you know, if you're stupid enough to think that your Jesus has a church, then you're just an ignorant buffoon. For a moment where you think it's associated with him, why don't you read the Greek? Why don't you take, he didn't speak Greek. Come to understand that. He spoke Hebrew. Come to understand, what word did Yosha, is he recorded and translated having said this Shimon Kephish about upon this rock? He's now naming Shimon Kephish, which is stone or rock.
Right.
Upon this rock, I will build Bana, my, and he said Mikra, but it was translated as Ecclesia. Why don't you know, if you're a Christian, why don't you figure out how a sane individual gets from ecclesia, which is to call out, to summon, to invite by name, how one gets from that
to a church.
To church.
Thank you.
It's not a transliteration of the Greek word, which would be stupid because he didn't speak Greek. But it's not a translation of the Greek word either. Church is a borrowed word from the Germanic Teutonic tribes. The name of not only the daughter of Helios, therefore a pagan goddess, but it was also the basis of the Teutonic depiction of circle, which was the halo symbol of the sun, and circus, which was where magic was performed in the name of the gods and political figures of Germany.
And remember, the circus is also where ringed affairs. They had big circles. One circle.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The one within the circle of the sun.
Right. Correct. Yeah, it was all this. The circle and circus are based upon the exact same word, and it was derived from the name of the daughter of the sun, because the sun appears round. So when someone tells you that, when you hear for the first time, Christian, that the very cornerstone of your religion, the church, is a concept that was taken from paganism, and that has absolutely no basis whatsoever with the individual whose name you don't even know, Yahusha. There was no Jesus. And that he actually said, upon this rock, this sewer, this foundation, I will bana, which is Hebrew for, I will build the family name and the family home upon this, I will build my mikre. And mikre is the closest Greek word to translate mikre is ecclesia. Mikre means to call out, to invite, to summon, to welcome.
And party.
And a party. And, you know, and by changing, it's not just, oh, well, it doesn't mean a pagan goddess to me, so, it's just what we call the thing that that Jesus established. And, you know, you're getting too into the words. Okay, so you think that your Jesus, a name of a God who you don't know, established something based upon paganism. And it's okay with him that you've changed the name of the thing that he established to something that is holy and completely pagan. It's okay with him, right?
And why he said, don't do this, on top of that, you just ignore that comment.
Yeah, just ignore that, too. And, oh, by the way, what did your church steal from you that's insanely important?
Your soul.
Well, your soul, but a reference to the Mikra.
Mm-hmm.
When you recognize that Yahusha was at that moment on the cusp of fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, and then 49 days later, Shavua. And
all
that all of that is missed because your church decided that they would change the word to mislead you.
Wow.
Yeah. So here he is on the cusp of doing something that is germane, that is relevant, that is essential. He is going to enable each of the five benefits of the covenant by fulfilling the first four Moed Mikre in year 4000 Yah. And there's not one Christian in a million that knows it because their church deceived them. Kirk, do you like being lied to?
Not at all.
What if somebody is deliberately deceiving you? There are little white lies that are supposed to be meaningless. What if somebody is deliberately deceiving you about something that is essential? What if somebody were to come up to you and promote a lie about your wife that was publicly, that was incredibly destructive of her reputation and character? What would you think about that individual?
Well, I might slug him.
Yeah. You react hatefully, angrily, right?
Angrily, absolutely.
Yeah. So why is it that we can tell Christians that their church has deliberately misled them, purposefully and knowingly, destroying any hope that they, their children, their parents, anyone they have come to know and love, has of knowing God, and that they have robbed them in the process of their money and their soul? Why is it that Christians don't react hatefully and angrily at the leaders of their church?
They will not believe you.
I think
they will absolutely not believe you.
Even worse is that if you points this out to them, that they're being deceived and lied to, and that you prove that to them,
mm-hmm.
They get mad at you.
They turn on you.
Right.
They turn on you.
Right.
They'd rather. What does it say about a person that would rather believe a lie than know the truth?
Going back to this other example, Kirk, what kind of a person would you have to be to embrace and run to and uphold the terrible, maligning lies that were wielded at your wife, and to reject your someone that comes to you and say, listen, I was there. None of this happened. This is all made up, and the person presenting the story about your wife is an absolute liar, what kind of a person would you have to be? If rather than smacking the liar in the face, you went over and slapped the witness who is exonerating your wife upside the head, what kind of a person would you have to be?
There's not enough words for that kind of person.
Right. But what kind of a person is a Christian?
When
somebody brings this information to their attention and they get angry at the person who awakens them to this reality, as opposed to getting angry at their church.
They not only get angry at you, Chief, because I've done this a lot. They don't want to speak to you anymore. They cut you off.
Mm-hmm. So you got somebody who's providing an accurate witness and say you've been deceived, you've been lied to about the single most valuable thing you have,
mm-hmm.
your soul, and the second most valuable thing you have, the souls of those you love.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been deliberately misled by your church at the cost of your soul and your loved one's souls. And here is absolute proof that they have deceived you. And they cut you off and embrace those that have deceived them.
I run back to the preacher and say, this can't be so. Tell me it ain't so. And they say, well, it ain't so. And I say, okay.
And if you were presented this evidence, because you know I've listened and exchanged emails now with
sure.
many thousands of people who when they heard me reveal these things, many thousands of people said, you know, that makes sense. Now that is exactly what I suspected, and now I'm having what I suspected confirmed,
mm-hmm.
And what all of them did, without exception, you among them,
mm-hmm.
is you said, you know, well, that resonates. That makes sense to me. That is what I suspected. You verified it, didn't you?
Absolutely.
And it was only after you verified and verified and verified that you began to say, you know, tell you the truth, the verification is actually more fun than is the just the reading and listening.
I put them both on par with one another. I enjoy both very much.
Okay.
But I didn't attack your stuff. I had to read it all to find out what you're saying before I started mm-hmm. finding out whether, so I did the research myself to find out whether there's any wiggle room here, and there's not any wiggle room. So
no, there's none. Now, and what you know I've tried to do here is to use Yahweh's testimony in such a way that we look at the oldest manuscripts
right.
and we present each of the words that he revealed in the order that he revealed them, providing as clear, as complete, and as accurate a definition as can be made of those words, so that you can look them up, verify them yourself, and what we find is those words contradict the church's words. So, Kirk, how long do you think it would take for somebody who has internet access, which would be 99% of Americans, and probably 99% of Europeans, and probably 90% of those living in Central and South America, and 99% of those living in New Zealand and Australia?
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think it would take for someone to look up the Greek manuscripts of the so-called Christian New Testament, to verify for themselves what we have just said, that Yahusha never mentioned anything remotely akin to a church, that the Greek translation of what he said is ekklesia. How long do you think it would take you to, if you were to Google English Greek interlinear Christian New Testament before you would be able to verify that?
Well,
10 minutes?
Right, it would pop right up. I mean, it just depends on...
Yeah. In fact, if you Googled church, Christian, or church...
Well, the word for church.
The word for church, Greek, English, interlinear. It'd probably take you directly to a passage that has ecclesia in it. So it would take you 5 minutes to find that what we're saying is true, that the word that is translated representing what Yahusha said is ecclesia. And then how long do you think it'd take you after that to get a definition of ecclesia, to find out that it's based on two Greek words, ek, which means out, and ecclesia, which is to call?
It's called out assembly. It's out there. All you got to do is look it up. Yeah, it won't take you long.
Right.
A few moments.
Right. And by the way, there, while I've used called out assembly, it's the word really means just to call out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, like a caller that goes out into the crowd and says, "Yo, come out," you know, same way.
Well, yeah.
Kind of choir, that's the thing. So,
yeah, it's like the Hebrew word kara. Yes, it means to call out, like I'm calling out to you. Yes, I'm inviting you, I'm summoning you, I'm calling out to you. Yes, it means that, just like Kara does. But it also means to call out. And to call out means I'm calling you out of religion. I'm calling you out of confusion, of babble, of politics, of militarism. I'm calling you away from the institutions of man so that you could be called out and therefore set apart unto me.
Yes.
So it's the combination of those two things. So would it take you 5 minutes to find out that the word church is not a translation and not a transliteration? Transliteration means to replicate the sound. Translation means to replicate the definition, the meaning in another language. Take you 5 minutes to verify that what we're saying, that it's ecclesia, not church, and then take you another 5 minutes to get an accurate definition of ecclesia based upon ek and ecclesia? 10 minutes?
Possibly at the most.
All right. And then if you were to Google origins of the literary origins of the word church, if you were to Google that, how long before you would discover that the word is not a definition, not a transliteration, but instead it is the name of Church, the Teutonic goddess that was the daughter of Helios? How long would that take you? Another 5 minutes?
Another few moments. I mean, I was fortunate. I had a lot of that stuff in books on my shelf, so but it wouldn't take very long. You could do it in an encyclopedia. It wouldn't take you about a few minutes.
Yeah, in fact, any encyclopedia, New American Standard, World Book, any of those old encyclopedias would take you right to it. And dictionary, for example, most dictionaries now have word origins. And so any quality dictionary that has word derivations is going to take you to it as well.
Right.
Okay, so you've got 15 minutes in, and you've just learned that the basis of Christianity, its church, is completely bogus. Now, how long would it take you to find the closest Greek, or excuse me, closest Hebrew word, since you know he spoke Hebrew? How long do you think it would take you to find the closest Hebrew word to ecclesia?
Just you pop it in there, write it in there, it'll pop right out.
Yeah, it's going to take you right to Kara, which is used throughout the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and then you know how long you might find it would take you to verify that Yahweh calls the seven invitations that He uses to call us out so that we can meet with Him. How long do you think it would take you to figure out that he defined the title that for those seven meetings, the first four of which he was about to fulfill and has since fulfilled, are called Mikra, based upon and then you look that up and you find that it's based on the Hebrew verb kara.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know what has been stolen from you.
Yeah, you're not going to waste. You couldn't waste a day.
No, I think
spend an hour, you'd have all this stuff.
I think an hour would provide verification that all of this is true. And then once you come to realize that God doesn't have a church, He has a mikra, why in hell would you walk into a church?
Yeah.
When you know He doesn't have one, therefore it belongs to someone else, why would you walk into one?
Yeah, that's, you know, you'll go where the words take you. These people will not go where the word takes them. They'll
right.
sit there and argue with the facts.
Let me ask you another question. In fact, I'll ask Glenn. He's just
sure,
called in.
Answer.
Glenn, once you come to know that Yahweh has said that he's going to build, he's going to affirm his mikra, which are the seven invitations to meet with him, why, once you come to know that's what he said, wouldn't you attend Pesach, Passover, matzah, unyeasted bread, Bukkudim, firstborn children, and Shavuot, the promise of seven? Why wouldn't you do that?
Well, first of all, you know, rationalization, I mean, you don't want it to be true, you know, for starters.
Right.
And, you know, trying to avoid, I don't want to be pharisaically legalistic. And also what you, the distinction you just made between, you know, building the mikra, you know, meaning all those different, you know, covenant mm-hmm. festival events,
right.
That's different than just saying like an entity, a group of people, like an ecclesia, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, ecclesia, you know, is you're still thinking about just building a group of people, you know. So, but anyway, the church is definitely
yeah. even though there is no connotation in ek or ecclesia of group or people. There is no reference. There is no reference in the verb or the prefix that suggests group or people.
The called out. You know, if I say, you know, what the called out, it's a quote reference.
Yeah. Well, then it would. Then two things would have to occur if you're going to be, of course, rational. One is it would have to be preceded by a definite article. And it wasn't. And second, it would you would have to then say, all right, he's speaking Hebrew to Israelites in Israel on the cusp of his fulfillment of Passover, unyeasted bread, and first fruits. And in that context, is there a called out concept presented anywhere in the Hebrew Torah, prophets, and Psalms in association with these 3 days?
No. You're still going to end up with right. No, you're still going to end up with a corporate group of people who are the celebrants of these festivals. You know, and mm-hmm. the covenant observations.
Yeah, those who are called out and set apart.
Right.
And then if you're going to be rational, you'd have to look at. So, what does Yahweh call? Called out and set apart. Well, his Pesach, Matzah, and Bukkudim, for example, the Shabbat, for example, the set apart spirit, for example, his name, Yahweh, for example, Jerusalem, for example, Yisrael, for example.
The goal was always, you know, to create a group, to create a family, you know, as it were. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're always going to, you know, the observances are designed, you know, to be ultimately to be mm-hmm. the events that draw the people together in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's
yeah.
still the ultimate goal.
Yeah, the called out are the beneficiaries of the covenant promises and of the mikra invitations. So
right.
called out in the sense of a group is very consistent with Yahweh's testimony, with that group being disassociated from the seven Moed Mikre and being disassociated from the existing covenant and being disassociated from Yahweh and his Torah. Now, that's a problem.
Yeah, very much so. And the church is very intractable on these matters. I came across a blog post the other day from some missionary, I think, in Central, or a Christian missionary in Central or South America, I forget where it was, but
mm-hmm.
you know, he was touting that, you know, that they sponsor a radio station, yeah, and the name of their radio station is Destiny, like Destiny 104.5.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
You've got to be kidding!
Wow,
I emailed him about this. I'm like, are you aware that Destiny is the name of a pagan goddess?
Right.
And he responds with some, you know.
Well, that's not what it means to me.
Ridiculous, huh? ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, it may refer to a pagan, but it also has special meaning for the church. I'm like, for us, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, No, it doesn't. Period.
Period. And by the way, there is no such thing as destiny associated with God. There's destiny associated with pagan gods and pagan religions.
That's what I said, yeah.
But destiny, which is based upon the concept of predestination, the moment you move to predestination, you remove choice, and if you remove choice, there is nothing that God said or did that matters.
No.
Right.
Or nothing.
So it's like all this, a lot of those words, fate, destiny, they're all pagan goddesses.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, so when after a while does one finally have to say, you know, this institution called the church has lied to me so often about so many important things that I really ought not trust them anymore. I ought not trust them with my soul, with my money, with my children, with anything, including my perspective on life. Okay, let's say that you're a Christian and you find out that there is no church, that God doesn't have a church. And maybe next you Google Trinity and the origins of Trinity, and you learn that there is no reference to Trinity anywhere in the Christian New Testament, or of course not in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and you find out that it's Babylonian in its origins. And then maybe you look up the justification for Sunday worship, since Yahweh says, keep the Shabbat set apart. And then you look up the word Lord, and find out what it is replaces in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and that Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh is there. And then you look up and see, are there any other words with Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh in Hebrew? And you find that those are just five of the 22 letters that comprise the entire Hebrew alphabet and language, and we can read words with any and all of those letters in them. What's this notion we can't read that one word? And how many of these things would you have to find before you'd say, you know, there's a pattern of deliberate deceit on part of Christian leaders and Christian institutions? And you know, it probably isn't in my best interest to trust those who have a history of deceit.
You know, it occurred to me one of the problems is that the conversation a minute ago, Abram was called out by himself. I know his wife mm-hmm. came with him and family, but he was called.
Mm-hmm.
Moshe was called individually.
That's correct.
The disciples were called individually, Shimon Kepesh.
Correct. Right.
The doorway to Passover is the individual walk.
Single file.
Now, think about that mm-hmm. in terms of what you're... I think you know instinctively that this is a personal decision you're going to have to make. And
right.
that means you can't do it with everybody. And that means you're going to leave some of them behind, and you're going to contradict a lot of them's lifestyle, and that's and you have to be brave to do this. These guys were brave. Yeah. Moshe was brave. Abram was brave.
Oh, yeah.
We can,
absolutely.
We can poo-poo it, but he walked away from civilization out into the desert.
Correct.
He decided to trust this man. He ran across Yahweh.
Yeah.
Not a man of God, but,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Individual.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the rubber hits the road in most of our decisions. I obviously was not as worried about what happened because I've been kind of individual most of my life anyway. My wife certainly has. I mean, I understand. It's just too much for some people. They just, I can't leave all these things, you know. So I, as Terry used to say, my soul is the most important thing I have. So
correct.
It was easy for her.
Yeah, and then your soul is the second most important thing that she has.
Certainly.
And so why would you trust your own soul and the souls that you love to institutions that deliberately and knowingly, purposefully deceive?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about on the periphery. I mean, what's more important to Christianity than the church? Maybe the name Christ and Christian would be next, and it's bogus too. It's based on a Greek title that means to be drugged. And the Greek title was never used by Yosha. He had a Hebrew title. And so to transliterate a Greek word that means to drug as Christos, and then create a religion and name yourself after this this word which means to drug, as opposed to applying the actual title that that he was given and that he used, Messiah. I mean, what are you just going to go along and say, you can lie to me as much as you want and I'll wear that lie?
Consider one other thing. I'm going to throw in this maybe off a tiny bit, but Paul's church, the Catholic Church, having told all these lies, and now we know it's not growing very much, you may have noticed that now all of a sudden their God and Allah are all the same. I mean, that sounds like a power grab. Now they're trying to incorporate another 1.5 billion Muslims.
Because they are.
They are.
Yeah, that's where
it's just, you know, they're the same as the Dionysus was to Osiris.
Sure.
As Bacchus is to Dionysus, as Osiris is to Tammuz, as Tammuz is to Ninus. They're all the same. You know, when Yosha said, I came in my father's name, how many Christians read the next part? But you did not receive me. And how many of them contemplate the next statement? But one will come in his own name, and him you will receive. And by the way, if he came in his father's name, Jesus, is his father named Zeus?
No.
Come on, folks. Wake up. Care.